Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erevin Pei Dalet. We're on Pei Gimel and Beis, four lines from the bottom. And we're in the midst of discussing a sugya where you have two separate territories situated near each other, and you have another surface, another mound, another pole, or something like that, which is situated within a close proximity to these two territories. So in our case, we had a chatzar, and we had a merpeses, which is this balcony, to which apartments would open. And the people are living down in the chatzar, made their own eruv. People living up in the merpeses made their own eruv. And there's something, some surface area situated within close proximity to the chatzar and the merpeses. The question is, do they need an eruv to use that joint area? Tesis explains we're speaking about a jointly owned area. So the Gemara tells us that it depends. If their access to this surface area is equally with ease or with difficulty, meaning none of them can access it easier than the other one, then it's considered to be a jointly controlled area and an eruv is required. However, if one of these, let's say the chatzar or the merpeses, can access this area with more ease than the other one, so it's considered to be within his control, he attains exclusive rights over this area, can use it without an eruv. Now what happens if this post is 10 tefachim elevated from the chatzar, but it is also 10 tefachim below grade of the balcony? So the people in the chatzar can use it by means of zrika, tossing upward. The people living up in the merpeses can use it by means of shulshul, lowering, hanging. So what is halacha here? Do we consider this surface area to be equally inaccessible to both, in which case none of them assume control and an eruv is required, or perhaps we deem one to have easier access than the other one? Machlokes, Rav holds, they're both asur, because once it's 10 tefachim beyond your level, whether elevated or whether it's below your level, it's out of your usage area. And therefore, it's considered as though you only have indirect use of that, indirect access to that area. So both these, the chatzar and the merpeses, are considered to have inconvenient access, difficult access to this surface area, and none of them assume control, and it's considered to be a jointly used area, they need an eruv. Whereas according to Shmuel, he says zrika is more difficult than shulshul. It's easier to use something when you're looking down at it and you're hanging something down, you're lowering something, you can control it easier. So that fellow is considered to have more direct and convenient access and use of this area versus the fellow down below who has to toss upward. Well, you don't really have control of what you're throwing. So it's considered to be an indirect use. So zrika, relative to shulshul, tossing upward, relative to using via hanging or lowering downward, is considered to be more difficult, more indirect. And therefore we grant it to the person living up above who can use it through shulshul. So that's the machlokes we had with Rav and Shmuel yesterday. The Gemara today will bring some rayas to both shitas. We're going to have two rayas to Rav Shita, two rayas to Shmuel Shita. Let's begin with the raya to Shmuel. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, four lines from the bottom of the Amud Tanan, Anshe Chatzar, Anshe Merpeses. You have people living down in the Chatzar, people living up in the balcony. The Gemara is assuming that the balcony is merely a means to get up to the upper floor. So they're living at a high elevation, a second, third floor, not living actually on the Merpeses level. So that's the working assumption at this point. We have people living down in the Chatzar below, people living up on the Merpeses, Sheshachach v'le'irvu. So although they made their own independent eruvs, but they forgot to join together. The chatzar and merpeses hasn't joined together in one single eruv. So who has access, who has rights to what? Says the Mishnah, kol shegevoy asar tefachim merpeses. If you have some type of surface area which is 10 tefachim in elevation. So you have a mound, you have a hill sitting in the chatzah, which is 10 tefachim high. That's the merpeses. It belongs to the merpeses because it's easily accessed by them. Pachas mekan, if it's less than 10 tefachim in elevation, lechatzer, it belongs to the chatzah. Says Mokasalka Daitach, we figure at this point, my merpeses, when we speak about merpeses, what do we mean? B'nei Aliyah. They're living up in the upper floors, and they use the merpeses to access their apartments up high above. V'amai korlo merpeses, why is it referenced to as merpeses, as the balcony? Because salki merpeses. Because they ascend up through the merpeses to get to their living quarters. And the Braisa tells us, the Mishnah tells us, that who gains control, who has rights to this mound, which is 10 tefachim in elevation? The people in the merpeses, despite the fact that they're living way up high, they have to use it through shoshal. They're beyond 10 tefachim of this mound down below in the chatzar. So the distance between their living quarters and the top surface of this mound is 10 or more tefachim. They're going to use it through shoshal, through lowering, through hanging. And therefore, the Mishnah tells us that they attain exclusive rights. Apparently, when there's a choice between using it through lowering or through zrika, which in this case the Bnei Chatzar can only use it through zrika because they have to throw, they have to toss upward onto this high mount, who gains control? Who has exclusive rights? The Bnei Merpeses. Because shoshal apparently is considered to be more direct use than zrika. Alma apparently, kol lezeb shoshal, lezeb zrika, when you have a choice between this person who could use it through shoshal, and this person through zrika, who do we give it to? Noisen oisel lezeb b'shoshal. We grant it to the one who uses it through shoshal, which is considered to be more direct. This is a raya to Shmuel and a kasha to Rav. Says the Gemara, no, k'da amar Rav Huna. Just as Rav Huna said later on regarding a different part of the Mishnah, he interpreted the scenario as follows. Lo'oisen hadorim b'mepeses. We're not speaking about people living up high on third, fourth floors. We're speaking about people living level to the merpeses. They're living on the merpeses. In which case, they're not really at a distance from that mound. So just like Rav Huna applied that pshat later on, Hachanami here as well, going to answer likewise, Lo'isen hadorim merpeses. When we give this mound, which is 10 tefachim in elevation, to the merpeses, we're speaking about giving it to people who are living on the merpeses, level to the merpeses, in which case the level of their living quarters is close enough to this mound in the chatzar. It's within 10 tefachim, within striking range. And therefore, they will receive exclusive rights to the mound. There's no shoshal taking place here. They have direct access. It's considered to be Pesach. Right, that was a term we used yesterday. When we have Pesach, means that you have direct use. There's no zrika required, no shoshal required. Then certainly it's granted exclusively to you. Therefore, they gain rights as opposed to the chatzar, because to them it's bizrika. They have to toss upward, and it's considered to be inconvenient to access, inconvenient use. Let's see Rashi inside from the top line. So the Gemara's kasha was that the mound in the chatzar is granted to the Bnei Merpeses. And the Gemara assumes that people aren't actually living on the same level at the balcony, but they're living somewhere in a higher floor. Bnei Aliyah, the Gvi, Merpeses Tuva. They're elevated from the Merpeses a great distance, a great height. Avol Derech Merpeses, Zu Oilen V'Yordan. However, they use the Merpeses to get up and down from their apartments. Now, v'tel shebechatzar shugava yud, this tail, this hill in the chatzar, which is 10 tefachim high, havei nomech min aliyah, yud. If people are living way up high, then the top surface of this tail is 10 tefachim away from their living quarters. D'havei lezeh b'shoshal, lezeh b'zrika. So this results in the equation of lezeh b'shoshal, meaning that the people in the aliyah can use it by lowering down 10 tefachim, ulezeb ezrika, versus the chatzah who needs to use it through tossing upward. And what does the Mishnah say? Who gets it? Uktani. The Bnei Aliyah mutarim boy. The Bnei Aliyah attain rights here. Apparently it's a right to Shmuel, that shoshal is superior to ezrika. Says, no, I'm not speaking of people living up high in the air. Hadar merpeses, the living on the merpeses itself. Kigai in sheish, but the urine, there are apartments there. If that's the case, then they have easy access to this mound, and certainly it's granted to them. Who? So to them, have a high tel shabachatzer shavalan. This mound is equal level to their apartments. B'seich asar, what's in tent fachem? Aynamach agavaya, whether it's a bit lower or higher. Mehem pachas miyud, as long as it's within 10, it's considered to be perfectly direct access, and certainly we understand why they gain rights, exclusive rights, to the use of this tail. Continues the Gemara, Ihachi. If that's the case, what's the case? That the people living on the merpeses are actually living on the merpeses itself. So the assumption here is that the balcony is somewhere close by to the chatzar. 10, 15, it's somewhere within the area of the chatzar. So if that's the case, Ihachi, Eima Seifa. Let's take a look at the Seifa of the Mishnah. So we just spoke about the mound, which is 10 tefachim high, which certainly is granted to the merpeses because it's within striking range. It's convenient for their use. But the Seifa says like this. Eima Seifa. Let's take a look at the Seifa. Pachas mekan lachatzar. If the mound is lower than 10 tefachim, within 10 tefachim to the ground of the chatzar, lachatzar. We give it to the chatzar. Why? Because it's within 10 to the chatzar below. Now, if the people on the merpeses are living so close by, so this mound, although it's within 10 tefachim to the chatzar, but we're assuming that it's situated somewhere between the chatzar and the merpeses. So this is the chatzar, this is the merpeses. And this mound, which is right here, the top surface is somewhere between the ground of the chatzar and the merpeses. It's within 10 tefachim to each. That's the assumption here. So why do we give it to the chatzar? Since it's an area which is easily accessed, which is equally convenient to both of them. So why do we give it to the chatzar? Amai, why? Lezeba pesachu. It's easily accessed to both, to the chatzar and the merpeses. And we know that when something is easily accessed to two people, they both have equal rights, and they need an erev to use it. So this is a kasha on the pshat that we said. If people are living on the merpeses itself, it means that they're close enough to the chatzar, so everybody's within striking range of this mound. So it's a joint usage space. An erev is required. If the people on the merpeses would be living way up high in the third, fourth floor, then this kasha wouldn't exist. But based on your pshat, that we're living on the merpeses itself, so everybody's within 10 tefachim of this mound, it's a joint area. So why does the Mishnah say we give it to the chatzar? Says the Gemara, my lechatzar. You know what the Mishnah means when it says lechatzar, af lechatzar. It is granted not only to the merpeses, but in this case also to the chatzar, which name asurim. And indeed they're both us, because it's within striking range of both, of the chatzar and the merpeses. In which case, considered to be a joint area, jointly controlled area, and an erev is required. It indeed seems that this interpretation is correct. Now, when the Mishnah says the word lechatzar, it simply means that it's granted to both parties, and an erev is required. How do we know? Because since in the next part of the Mishnah, it says like this, when does this halacha apply? This halacha that a mound which is 10 tefachim in elevation is granted to the merpeses, that's only besmucha, when it's within close proximity to the merpeses, meaning it's within 4 tefachim, so they have direct access. Avul b'mefleges, but if it's situated at a distance from the merpeses, in which case they also don't have convenient access to it, then afilu gevayu tefachim lechatzar. And even if the mound is 10 tefachim high, it goes to the chatzar, because it's really inaccessible to the merpeses, since it's situated far away from them. Let's analyze. What does lechatzar mean? My lechatzar. Ilema lechatzar vishari. Does the Mishnah mean that it's granted exclusively to the chatzar, and they can use it? Amai, why is that so? How can you say that? Rishus of the Tavayuhu. It belongs to both of them. Why? Let's analyze. This tail, this mound, which is 10 tefachim above the level of the chatzar. So to the members of the chatzar, it's accessed with difficulty. Bezrika, they have to toss upward. Fine. But there's no advantage to the B'nai Mepesas either. Because for them, it's also accessed with difficulty. Why? Because since it's situated far away from them, so in order for them to use this top surface, they have to go and throw something. They have to toss something away from them, sideways. Not only is it getting a bit lower, but it's also sideways. So it's not really considered to be direct control. So unlike a case where a person is using shulshul, meaning lowering something directly below him, in which case Shmuel holds, he has control of what he's doing. It's considered to be direct use. This case is different because you have to throw at a distance. You don't really have control there. So according to all shittos, even according to Shmuel, in such a situation, nobody has preference. So why would the Mishnah say that the chatzah gets rights? In this case, everybody is equal. It's equally inaccessible to all. So amai rishus tavayu. Amai. Why is it muta rishus tavayu? It's considered to be both of them's rishus. Ella, rather, you must say, my lechatzah af lechatzah. When the Mishnah says it's given to the chatzah, the Mishnah strictly merely means af lechatzah. It's also given to the chatzah. Shnei nasur. Certainly they're both asur. Because it's equally inaccessible to both. They both access it with difficulty. The chatzar accesses it with difficulty because it's bizrika. It's 10 tefach above their ground. Likewise, the mepesas has difficulty because it's at a distance. So that must be pshat in the seif of the Mishnah. Hachinami here as well in the reisha, my lechatzar. When we speak about this mound, which is actually close to the mepesas, but it's not 10 tefachim high. It's within 10 tefachim to the ground of the chatzar. Where the Mishnah says it goes lechatzer, my lechatzer. What did the Mishnah mean? Af lechatzer shnein asur shmamino. Indeed, this is a raya that the wording lechatzer simply is referring to af lechatzer. They both are considered to have equal rights, equal control. So everything works out. Meaning, we're now supporting our contention that the people are living on the Mepesas itself, and working with Rav's interpretation that the only reason why the mound, which is 10 tefachim high, situated near the Mepesas, belongs to them is because they're close by. They don't need to make shulshul, because shulshul according to Rav is considered to be indirect use. It's only because they're level with the mound. Why then, in the case where the mound is lower than 10, does the Mishnah say it goes l'chatzer? If we're speaking of people living on the Mepesas itself, then it's within 10 tefachim to both, the Mepesas and the Chatzar. So why do we give it to the Chatzar? No, we're not giving it to the Chatzar. We're giving it to both. The Chatzar merely means af l'chatzar. They both have equal rights, and the Erev is required. Continues the Gemara with another Raya to Shmuel from the next part of the Mishnah. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Chulias HaBoyer V'Hasela. We have a ridge around a pit or a boulder sitting in the Chatzar. Shein Gvoyin Asora, which are 10 tefachim in height, limir peses. So it is granted to the people on the peses. And the assumption here is, we're going to go back to the early depiction, that the assumption was the people living on the peses means not on the actual balcony, but they use the balcony to ascend up to their apartments, which are elevated third, fourth floor. So the Mishnah says that the people on the peses assume full rights of the boulder, of this bar, because it is 10 tefachim high and beyond the reach of the chatzar. Pachas mekan lechatzar. If it's less than 10 tefachim high, then it belongs to the chatzar. So we have a kasha on Rav, because it seems that although the people on the Merpeses are situated at a distance from the boulder or from this burr, nevertheless, since it is 10 tefachim in elevation, so the Bnei Chatzar have only indirect use, only zrika, they have to toss upward. Therefore, we grant it to the Merpeses, who uses it through shulshul. Meaning, although they are situated 10 tefachim above this surface, apparently shulshul is considered to be direct use, in accordance with Shmuel. So this is a kasha on Rav Shit. Am Rav Huna. So this is where Rav Huna applies interpretation. No, we're not speaking about people who access the Merpeses to get up to their apartments. They actually live on the Merpeses level. Lo'isen hadoran b'merpeses. I'm speaking about giving it to the people who are living on the Merpeses. And since they're living right there, in an area which is surface, which is level, just about level to the top of the boulder or to this burr, then certainly they gain exclusive rights, because it's within 10 tefachim to their living quarters. So it's not a situation where you're faced with an equation of zrika versus shulshul. In this case, there's no shulshul whatsoever. The chatzar can only use it through zrika, and the Merpeses use it directly. It's called pesach, because it's within 10 tefachim to their area. Says, okay, tenach sela, that explains the boulder. So the top surface of that boulder is within 10 tefachim to the Merpeses. So it's considered direct access. However, boir, Michael Amemar, what about the pit? The Ritva explains that the Gemara assumes the Mishnah is referring to not only the top of the ridge around the boir, but to the interior of the boir as well. Now, the interior of the boir is deep, is down below. The Merpeses can only use it through shulshul, through lowering their pail down into the boir below. Apparently, shulshul is considered to be direct use, and they assume exclusive rights. So it's a kasha rav once again. Says Amar, no. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Breda Rav Yehuda, Hacha beboir melea mayim askinan. We're speaking about a pit full of water, in which case the top layer of that water is within 10 tefachim to the Merpeses, and there's no shulshul required whatsoever. Within 10 tefachim is considered to be direct use. Says Mavach Chasra, but once you begin supplying yourself with that water, the water level drops. The burr is missing some water, and the water level drops. In which case, you're once again using shulshul because it's 10 tefachim or beyond. Says Mavach Akiva and the Chimal Yesharya, since when the pit is full of water, it's mutter. Ki Chasra na Mesharya, even if it's missing something, it remains mutter. It retains its heter status. It's still considered to be within close proximity to the Merpeses. So it's more adra, just the opposite. Kivan dechi chasra asira. Since if it's missing, in which case the water level drops, it's considered to be beyond range, and it's asur. Kimal yanami asira. Even when it's filled, it should remain asur. Meaning, since this area, since this deep pit, is considered to be out of reach for the Merpeses, because it can only reach it through shulshul, because it's 10 or beyond. So that status remains. Even if you fill it with water, it can't change the status of the place. The etzem place is considered to be beyond reach. Elam Abaye says, Abaye hocha beboir mele peres askina. Speaking about a pit full of solids, full of fruit. In which case, the top layer of that fruit, which is within 10, is considered to be easily accessed by the Bnei Merpeses. So he's learning that fruit, which fills the bar completely, takes away the concern here. It's no longer considered to be at a distance, because we view the top surface of this bar as a surface on its own, and since that's within 10, then it's okay. Says Gemara, okay, that's when it's full. What about once you start using it? V'chasri. Once it goes missing and the level of the fruit go down, you're reaching out to beyond 10 tefachim. Says Rabbi Tivla, was speaking about fruit, which is Asr Rachil, it's Tevel, in which case it's Muktzah. So that ensures that it remains that way throughout Shabbos, and the top surface is considered to be within 10 tefachim of the Merpeses. Deikinami, the wording of the Mishnah indicates as such, Dektani Dumi Desela. Because the Mishnah cites two examples of this halacha. the buyer and the seller, and just as the seller is a constant, it's absolute, it's not changing. Likewise, the buyer is describing a similar case where it's going to remain unchanged for the entire Shabbos, meaning the top surface of the buyer is within 10 tefachim of the Merpesa, Shema Mino, indeed we have a Raya. So this takes away the Kasha, there's no more Kasha on Rav, because we're speaking about reaching down to within 10 tefachim. There's no shulshul required whatsoever, it's considered to be direct use, and therefore they have exclusive rights. Says the Gemara. Now, the Mishnah cites two examples, buyer and seller. The way we just described it, they're both pretty much one and the same case. The top surface of either the boulder or the burr are within 10. So why does the Mishnah have to describe two separate cases? V'lomali l'misna burr, v'lomali l'misna sela. Why does the Mishnah find a need to describe both cases of burr and sela, which are basically one and the same halacha? Tzricha both are needed. Yashmin and sela, if the Mishnah would only speak about a boulder, I would say, yeah, over there it works. The lekel l'migzer, there's no reason for concern because it's not changing throughout Shabbos. The surface will always remain within 10 tefachim. Aval bor as opposed to a bor, ligzer perhaps is a concern. Yeah, this time we have tevel in there, which will remain in place. But perhaps next time, zimnen, perhaps a different time, demal yipes misakon will be filled with fruit which are mesuk, which are not tevel, which are mutar b'achila, which would carry a concern that perhaps the consumption of that fruit will lower the level of the bor, and will continue using it. Tzricha, the Mishnah needs to inform us, there's no such concern. Continues the Gemara. Now we're going to have a kasha on Shmuel. Toshma, the Braisa says, Anshi Chotzer v'Anshi Aliyah, Sheshachu le'Yirvu. You have people living out in the Chotzer, people living on an upper floor, and they forgot to make an Erev with one another. Now we have a wall. You have a Chotzer, a wall, and people living up on the second, third floor. Who has access to this wall? Let's say there's a ledge protruding from that wall. Who's going to use it? Says the Braisa, Anshe Chatzer Mishtamshim Basara Tachtoinim. People down in the Chatzer have exclusive rights to the ledge which is within 10 tefachim of their ground below. It's considered to be direct access, and therefore they attain exclusive rights. V'Anshe Aliyah, people up in the Aliyah, Mishtamshim Basara Aliyoinim. They have exclusive rights to the upper 10 tefachim. So we have the wall, and we have the window of the second or third floor. So we count, we measure 10 tefachim below their window. We mark that point, and from that point and upward, it's considered to be directly accessed by them, and they have exclusive rights. Ketzad, what's the example here? Ziz yotzim na koisel, you have a ledge coming out of the wall. Lamata masor lechatzer. If it's within 10 tefachim to the chatzer, goes to the chatzer. Lamal masor aliyah, above 10, goes to the aliyah. So that's the brice. So the Gemara is going to make a diyuk. We say that within 10 to the chatzer belongs to the chatzer, within 10 to the aliyah belongs to the aliyah. What about the space in between? Ha de beini beini. All that area between these two areas, Aser, is Aser for both. Now let's just evaluate what's going on here. This space between the lower 10 tefachim and the upper 10 is accessible to Bnei Chatzer through Zrika. They have to toss upward. And how is it accessed by the Bnei Aliyah? Through Shulshul. They have to hang, they have to lower downward. What is the Braisa saying? And we have Shulshul versus Zrika, nobody gets priority. We don't grant preference to anybody. And they're both Aser. Is there a Raya to Rav? Ha de beni beni Aser. The no man's land in between is Aser. Although, the Bnei Aliyah can access it through Shulshul. Apparently, there's no preference to Shulshul over Zrika. Oh, Rav Nachman. Says Rav Nachman, we're not speaking about such a type of case. We're speaking about a short wall. The entire wall is merely 19 tefachim in height. And there's a ledge protruding from the wall. So the Braisa says like this. Lamata masora. If this ledge is below 10 of the aliyah. So we have the wall. And here's the aliyah. and the ledge is beyond the 10, under the aliyah, who gets rights? The chatzar. Because it's within 10 of the chatzar and beyond reach of the aliyah. L'zeh b'Pesach is considered to be easily accessible to the chatzar, l'zeh b'Shoshol, versus the aliyah who needs to do Shoshol to get there, because it's beyond 10 tefachim of his area. So that's the first case in the Braisa. L'malam asara, let's say this ledge is situated above 10 from the ground of the chatzar. So you have the wall, you have the chatzar, and the ledge is above 10 from the ground below, means that's within 9 of the aliyah. In this case, once again, it's accessible to the aliyah directly, l'zeh b'Pesach, and therefore they gain rights. L'zeh b'Zrika, versus the chatzar, who can only access it through Zrika, because it's beyond 10. So then, who gets rights? The aliyah gets rights, and not the chatzar. So we're not speaking about a case of shoshol, because it's either within 9 tefachim to the chatzar, or within 9 tefachim to the aliyah. Shoshol means using something, lowering something, hanging something at a distance of 10 or more, which doesn't apply in this case. Because the Bryce is simply saying, if it's within 9 to the ground, then the chatzar gets it. Within 9 to the aliyah, then they get it. Now, what happens about that? What happens regarding that middle tefach? Speaking about 19 in height. So we have 9 to the chatzar, belongs to the chatzar, 9 near the aliyah, belongs to the aliyah. What happens to that middle tefach? There's another tefach there. So Mashal points out that middle tefach, which is within 10 to both the chatzar and the aliyah, is easily accessed by both. That's called Lezeba Pesach, Lezeba Pesach. In that case, certainly all agree it's Asr, as we discussed yesterday. So it doesn't relate to our discussion between Rav and Shmuel, which doesn't apply. In this case, we're not speaking about a case of Shulsha whatsoever. Continues the Gemara. Tashma, let's bring a right from Mishnah to Rav Shita, that Shulsha has no preference. Shteig zu shroiz zulam alam zu. We have two balconies which extend over the water, so two Venetian balconies over water, in which case they would like to draw some water from that body of water, which is a karmelis. That can only be done, you can only draw from the karmelis into the gzustra, onto this balcony, which is a shayachid, if you constructed some sort of mechitza, which would allow you to do that. So as Rashi describes it, they would have a balcony with a hole in the middle to lower the pail down to the body of water below. Chacham required them to make a mechitza. A mechitza either around the hole, above the hole, or suspended on the underside of the hole. Now, although the mechitza is not really reaching the water down below, certainly not reaching the bottom of the water, this is a kula that was applied to water. As long as it appears that you're drawing from within the confine of this mechitza, it appears like you're taking from a confined area, like Rishon Sayochid, up to the balcony, which as well is a Rishon Sayochid. So the Mishnah says, Shteig zu shtroiz zulam alam zu. We have two balconies situated on top of each other. So they're at different levels. However, as Rashi points out, they're not directly one above the other. They're a bit misaligned within four tefachim of each other. And they'd like to use the balcony to draw water from the body of water below. Now they both contributed to the expense of building a mechitza on the upper balcony, but they didn't do it for the lower balcony, in which case the upper balcony uses the water hole there easily, just lowers his pail through it, whereas the fellow in the lower balcony has to toss his pail upward over the upper balcony into the hole and lower it down in that manner. So what does the Mishnah say? Shtein asuris, achi arvu. Both of them can't use this water hole, this hole in the balcony, even though it has mechitzas, until they make an erev. Now, the equation here is as follows. The upper balcony has direct use. It's shulshul. They merely lower their pail through the hole. Whereas the fellow in the lower balcony, he accesses it with more difficulty because he has to first toss upward and then be mishalshal downward. What does the Mishnah say? We consider them to be both equal owners. We both have equal access. We don't prefer one or the other. Although the fellow on the upper balcony accesses this much more easier than the tachtoim, because he has shoshal versus the tachtoim who has rika. This is a kashan shmo. Let's see Rashi inside. Up on top, says Rashi shtei gzustrois. Masnisin it's a Mishnah gzustrois shilomala min ha mayim. Balcony suspended over the water. Beis zizin, what is exustra? Beis zizin, two beams, boltim and aliyah, shasfas hayam, protruding from this upper floor over the yam, mekoivin and nesarim zelazeh, and they stretch boards from one beam to the other, exustra, and this is the balcony. Utanan, ein memal memen b'shabbos. You can't go and fill water through this balcony down from the body of water below. Why lefisha exustra, shasayachet. This balcony is a shayachot. Shakavoyev rochava harbe. It's elevated, it's wide, has a din of shayachot. Vayam karmelis. You can't draw from a karmelis to a shayachot. Ella, imkein osma machitz asara. Unless you constructed a 10 tefach machitz. Where? Bein milamala, bein milamata, whether above that hole or below that hole in the balcony. Shachoyki kin nekev abo, kin pibur. They would drill this hole, 4 tefachim wide, like a mouth of a bar in the balcony, through which they would lower their pail. Voice and machitzas voisav, lamala lamata, and they construct a machitza around that hole, whether above the hole, whether below the hole. So you have the balcony with a hole in the middle. The machitza was either around the hole on top or suspended below the hole. Umeshalshod limamali. This allows you to lower your pail through that hole, through the machitzas, down to the water below, and fill your pail. V'chashav kilupias machitza. Yordim v'soysim natoim. We view the edge of those mechitzas as though they're descending down and separating that water. Kedaminim perakama kalu shekilu chacham b'mayim shemechitza tluyim materes ben. Suspended mechitza was a leniency applied by chachamim when it comes to water. It appears as though you're drawing from within the confines of that mechitza, which is rishus hayachid. V'chein legarsinan beis gzustrois v'lomal mezul. So getting back to our story with the two balconies. So the one on top of the other, they're not directly one over the other. They're pulled apart. They're misaligned, but within four tefachim. And they constructed a hole and a mechitza on the top one, but not on the bottom one. On Shabbos, how do the members of the lower balcony use the this hole? They toss their dli, their pail, up on top, al mechitza al yoyna, on the mechitza of the upper balcony, v'yard l'nekev, and it descends into the hole, m'shalshel, and he lowers it down to the water, u'moyshech v'oyla, and he brings up his water in that manner. Says the Mishnah, shtein asur, l'malis, none of them can use it. Why? Because they both control that area. Adds Rashi, k'goyin she'osu oysa mechitza b'shutfus, speaking where they both contributed. It was a partnership. They constructed it in partnership. Alma. Okay, so what pertains to us is as follows. Apparently we see here that we have a case where Lizeb is Shulshul. Livne El Yoina, to the one sitting in the upper balcony, Tashmish Lizeb is Shulshul. Their use is by way of lowering. They lower their pail into the water. Livne Tachtoina, however, the fellow in the lower balcony, how does he make use of this area? Bezrika v'shoshal. First he has to toss upward and then lower down. Uktanishtein asuris. And the Mishnah says they have both equal rights. They're both asur. We don't prefer the upper balcony over the lower balcony. The koshka is certainly a case where they're more equal. Meaning, in this case, the fellow in the lower balcony is very inconvenienced. Doubly so. Not only is he going to be Mishalshal, he's going to be Zurich as well. So we have an equation where the upper balcony merely is Mishalshal, and the lower balcony is to do Zurich and Shalshal. So he's doubly inconvenienced, and still we say that we consider this area to be jointly controlled. There's a Kashan Shmuel. The Koshka is certainly a case where it's a more simple equation where Lezeb is Shalshal, Zeb is Zurich al-Khuda, where this fellow has Shalshal access and this one only is Zurich, where he's only inconvenienced on a single account, because he only has to do Zrika. He doesn't have to do Zrika and Shilshul. Certainly in that case, what would be the halacha? That that the person who does shoshal doesn't have any superiority, right? Because even in this case, such as ours, where the fellow on the upper balcony has shoshal versus the lower balcony, which has to have shoshal and zrika, a double inconvenience. Still, what do we say? That the upper balcony has no upper hand. So, of course, in a case where it's only shoshal versus only zrika, but the fellow in the lower area only has a single factor of inconvenience, only zrika, certainly in that case, you won't give any superiority or preference over the shoshal. The shoshal over the zrika. So the kashan Shmuel, who maintains that shoshal is better than zrika. Says the Gemara, Amar of Adabar Ava, this won't be a kashan Shmuel, because we're not speaking where the lower balcony uses it by means of throwing. They climb up the ladder to get up to the upper balcony and they fill in that manner. There's no throwing taking place whatsoever. They're both using it through shoshal, so it's easily accessed to both and are considered to have equally convenient use of this water hole, and therefore, according to all shittas, an Erev is required. So it's not a kasha on Shmuel whatsoever. Abaye Amar, he says different terrors. Could go in the kaim nebesei chasor dadod. We're speaking where the balconies, the height discrepancy, the height difference is less than 10. In which case, they're considered to be one and the same, one continuous entity. So of course they interfere with each other. Shmuel was speaking about one chatzir here, one balcony there, 10 tfachim separating them, and we have an area where they can both access, etc. Here we're not speaking about that. We're speaking about two areas which are within close proximity to each other, within 10 tefachim to each other. Of course they interfere with each other, according to all shittas. Now, if that's the case, then why is it a problem? Because why does the Mishnah describe the mechitza as being constructed on the elyoina and not the tachtoina? If the reason for the isser is simply because the two balconies are situated so close to each other, then what difference does it make where the mechitzas are? Says the Gemara, the answer is like this. The Bryce is simply applying the concept, a formula of, needless to say, meaning the Bryce wants to let us know a greater chiddush. Certainly, needless to say, where also tachtoina, also yoina, in the case where the mechitza was actually present in the bottom balcony and not in the upper balcony, where everybody uses the lower balcony, of course, in that case, that's Siri. Of course, there'll be asa because, once again, we're speaking where they're so close to each other, and then they fare with each other, unless they make an error. Why? The kiven, the begoyu, that are the kaimen, since they're within 10 tefachim to each other, asna adadi, they interfere with each other. So that's pashut. The chiddush is as follows. Ela afilu asul el yoyne, even in the case where the mechitza is up above, b'lo aslach tachtoyne, but they didn't do it for the tachtoyne, and the tachtoyne is using the upper balcony, which is, although it's within 10 tefachim, but it's slightly inconvenient for them, they have to toss upward and lower. So, I would think perhaps, Sagadai Dachamina, perhaps there would be room to say, Kivun de lezebenachas, or zebekasha, since we're faced with a situation where this area is more easily used, more easily accessed by the member of the upper balcony, it's lezebenachas, because he only needs to lower through the hole. Or zebekasha, in contrast with the lower balcony, who has a bit difficulty getting to the hole on top, he has to throw his pail upward. Perhaps in this case, who gains priority? Less ve'leze shetash v'shebenachas. Let's grant it to the member of the upper balcony who uses it with more ease. Kamash malon, the chiddush is no. Kivan de begoy asura kaimen. Since they're situated within 10 tefachim to each other, asra dadi, they interfere with each other. So, at the end of the day, there's no kashan Shmuel, because we're speaking where they're within 10 tefachim to each other, and it's unrelated to Shmuel, speaking about a case where you're 10 tefachim above that surface, in which case you have to do shoshal, which doesn't apply in this case. So according to Abaye, we're speaking where the balconies are within 10 tefachim to each other, and therefore they're considered to be one continuous entity, and the fellow in the lower balcony cannot make use of the water hole on top without an Erev. Says the Marki Ha, the Omar of Nachman Rashmol. This concept where two areas are within 10 tefachim to each other, and therefore considered to be one continuous entity and interfere with each other, is found in the halacha, the Omar of Nachan, Omar Shmuel. Gag HaSamach Lushas Rabim. We have a rooftop which is situated near Lushas Rabim. As Tosis explains, this rooftop had mechitzes and was open towards Lushas Rabim. So we have a street, we have a rooftop, which is within the 10 tefachim to the Lushas Rabim, meaning the height discrepancy, the elevation difference is less than 10 tefachim. Now this roof had mechitzes around it, but it had a Pesach. It was open to the Lushas Rabim. So since the Pesach of the Gag is exposed to the Lushas Rabim, and it's within 10 tefachim, elevation of the Lushas Rabim, what is the halacha? Gag HaSamach Lushas Rabim, Sorech Sulam Kavol Atiroi. You need to station a permanent ladder from the house below to the roof, where the owner will indicate by doing so, look, I'm regaining control of my rooftop. I'm detaching it from Lushas Rabim. Because otherwise, the fact that it's within close proximity to Lushas Rabim, the Bnei Lushas Rabim will interfere. Tosfos says it will become like a non-residential area, like a karfif, which creates concern, which creates limitations when it comes to carrying. So the only way to extricate it from Lushas Rabim, to detach it, is by the owner going ahead and making that statement. Look, I want my roof back. He places a permanent ladder stretching from his house below up to his roof, which indicates that he's regaining control of his rooftop. So we need a sulam kavoy latira to make it mutter. Sulam kavoyin, only a permanent ladder. Sulam arayloi, but just a temporary ladder won't work. My time, why? It's his rooftop. Why? How is it going to be affected by Lushas Rabim? Lav mishum, apparently because the kiva nebesoich asor adadi kaimi. Since both territories, both surfaces are within 10 tefachim to each other, the roof and Lushas Rabim, that is, asor adadi, interfere with each other. So likewise, in our case, where the two balconies are within 10 tefachim, they interfere with each other. Maskev for Rav Papa. Said Rav Papa, how do you know? Vidilma, perhaps the case of the rooftop near Lushas Rabim was speaking where the rooftop was actually elevated 10 tefachim beyond Lushas Rabim. So how could Lushas Rabim interfere? Vidilma kisharabim makat finalov. Bekumt of Isudra was speaking that the rabim actually make use of that rooftop by placing their kumsa, their cap, their sudra, their scarves. So Rashi explains on a hot day, a fellow will stop for a minute to cool off. So he hangs his hand jacket on this fellow's rooftop. So in this case, even if it's 10 tefachim in elevation, since the Lushas Rabim actually make use of this area, and as he explains, it's only a rooftop. It's not a real residential area. It's not a primary place of residence. So by their use of this rooftop, they negate somewhat the Rishus Sayachat status, the residential status of that rooftop, and create complications. So Rav Papa maintains that it's unrelated to our discussion. We want to bring a raya from this halacha that anything within 10 tefachim is considered to be one and connected. What was the raya? In the case of the rooftop, which evidently was within 10 to Rishus Rabim, says Rav Papa, no, it was beyond 10. How then could the Rishus Rabim interfere with this rooftop, which is beyond their area, 10 tefachim beyond? The answer is because they happened to use it. They hang the hat and jacket on it, in which case their use of that area will affect the area and negate somewhat its Rishus Yachid status. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began initially with the Machlekes Rabban Shmuel. We have this surface area which is accessed by one territory via Zrika, so it's 10 tafach in elevation, they need to toss upward. And the other fellow and the other territory can access it through Shilshul, meaning he looks down at it and it's 10 tefachim below, so he needs to hang, to lower something onto that surface. According to Rav, the fact that it's 10 tefach removed from your area, it's out of your makim shimush, it's not considered as though you have direct use, so they're both equally inconvenienced, they both have equal difficulty accessing this area, and it's considered to be a jointly used area, jointly controlled area, and they can only use it with an Erev. Whereas according to Shmuel, Shulshul is deemed to be superior than Zrika. When you hang something, when you lower something over a surface, you still have more control than just tossing something upward. Therefore, according to Shmuel, we look at the personal use, personal control that you have. So although it's 10 tefachim beyond your area, you still have more control than the other fellow, and you attain exclusive rights to that area when it comes to Shabbos, and you don't need an Erev to use it. The Gemara had two kashas on Rav. The first one was from the case where the mound in the Chatzar was 10 tefachim high. It is granted that the person living in the Merpeses, the Gemara figured the Merpeses is, the people living in the Merpeses are way up high and beyond reach of that mound. They're beyond 10 tefachim of that mound. So apparently, using something through Shulshul is considered to be direct use. The Gemara said no. They're actually living on the Merpeses itself, which is pretty much level with that mound. The Gemara, similar kasha from the case of the boulder of the bar. The Gemara said there as well, they're speaking about people living on the Merpeses who are pretty close by to this surface area. Therefore, no Shulshul is required and there's no kasha on Rav. We had two kashas on Shmuel. The case of the ledge in the wall, which the Gemara figured involved Shulshul. The Gemara answered no, there was no Shulshul involved whatsoever because it was within 10 tefachim to the Aliyah, which case has no relation to Shmuel's case. And the case of the two balconies, the Gemara initially figured also involved a case of a competition between the upper balcony who uses the hole through Shulshul versus the lower balcony who uses it through Sirika and Shulshul. And we still see from here that Shulshul has no preference. The Gemara had two turutsim. Either the lower balcony doesn't use it through tossing. They actually come up personally to use it, in which case it's equally accessed by both members. Kohen Tabai was speaking where the balconies are within 10 tefachim to each other, in which case the mere fact that they're so close to each other creates that interference and nobody can use it without an Erev. The Gemara arrived from the case of a rooftop which was closer to Sarabim, which the Gemara interpreted to be within 10 tefachim. So you see from there likewise that anything within 10 tefachim is considered to be connected and affected by each other.